Hello, hello, and welcome to The Through Ball, a podcast via 90.7 The Capstone. I am MG Cease, your host. This week, we'll be diving into the Iron Bowl of soccer, taking a look ahead at the SEC tournament, maybe getting way far ahead and looking at the NCAA tournament. Who's to say? I've got two guests coming on the podcast this week, so my game analysis and list of key players is going to be a little quicker than it normally is because I really want to get to that conversation. So let's just go ahead and hop right into it. All right, so as I mentioned earlier, the Iron Bowl of soccer happened last weekend. So as the last regular season game for the Crimson Tide, they traveled to Auburn, Alabama to face their in-state rivals, the Auburn Tigers. Now, Alabama won this game 1-0, bringing them up to 2 wins on the season. This was the 29th all-time meeting between the two teams. Auburn has the better of the historical record, but it was great that Alabama won this game, built off of the unfortunate double overtime loss in Tuscaloosa to end the regular season last year, but then the overtime win over the Tigers in the SEC tournament in 2019. As I mentioned, this game was away. It was at Auburn. So Auburn actually had a fan situation that was pretty similar to the Mississippi State game. There were a lot of fans sitting on the grass outside of the stadium. Now, from what I noticed, there were not chalked out circles, but they definitely were kind of tailgating, hanging out in the grass. They were loud. They were definitely loud. There were some basketball-esque, you can't do that chants when fouls happened, etc. But you could tell that, you know, Alabama fans traveled. It is an in-state rivalry. It's not that far. So the Alabama fans would be pretty loud when they disagreed with a call that went Auburn's way that they felt shouldn't have, or even if there was not a call that should have been against Auburn. So for this game, Alabama was coming in with a possible advantage, even though the game was away. Alabama had fresh legs. Their last game at that point was October 30th, their loss against Texas A&M. Auburn had 3 games in 8 days. So Auburn faced some scheduling changes. Some games earlier in their season were moved around because of COVID concerns and outbreaks across the SEC. The game was originally scheduled for Sunday, November 8th, but was moved up to Friday, November 6th to allow Auburn to get in some games that were postponed earlier in the season before the SEC tournament begins on Friday, November 13th. Now, the broadcast team for this game, which was on SEC Network Plus, actually said that they think that Alabama had the most normal season of any SEC team in women's soccer this fall. So, coming into the game, Auburn was playing for a double bye going into the SEC tournament. So let's go ahead and get into the game. Alabama definitely was playing, as per usual, with their high press. They were playing in a 4-3-3 formation, so 4 in the back line, 3 midfielders, 3 forwards. Auburn was playing in a 3-5-2, so 3 in the back line, 5 in the midfield, and then 2 up top. Matchups in the midfield were what everybody was wanting to see headed into this game, plus how Auburn's back three did against Alabama's front three. This was really the story headed in that the broadcasters wanted you to know was about the freshman midfielders. So for Alabama, you have Knox, who is a holding mid, and then for Auburn, you had Haddix, who is Auburn's linking mid. So her job is to create a lot of attacking opportunities and then score goals, and she didn't, spoiler alert, but she also apparently had not been scoring for Auburn prior to this game. So the broadcast team was saying they really wanted to see her kind of create for Auburn. Now, another interesting thing for Alabama positionally, Bryn Martin slid into the center back position from the right back, and it sounded like this was due to some COVID concerns from Alabama, but that was never really explicitly touched on. Now, another interesting thing while we're on the back line is that Auburn had 3 true center backs on their back line. So that was a pretty interesting matchup for everyone to watch, those 3 center backs against the dominant 3 forwards that Alabama has been playing all season. Now, Reyna Reyes was in the midfield again this game, And I really loved that look from her against Texas A&M. She didn't necessarily get as much production in this game, but I do really love her playing in that role for Alabama. So this game was played at a super fast pace. It wasn't a super fluid game. It was really definitely determined by battles won in the midfield and balls picked off across the pitch. Now, again, this has been said before, but Alabama is a possession-style team. They want to play out of the back. They want Crone, the goalkeeper, to be that first attack with her distribution of the ball. So another interesting thing when, you know, we're talking about battles won in the midfield is that Alabama has three midfielders against Auburn's five, so that actually allowed Auburn to control the wider spaces of the field. Now, this is interesting because Alabama wingers are where Bama has found a lot of success through the season, really particularly if you think back to that Tennessee game, there was a lot of success on those flanks. And this was something that Mattingly noted after the game. She has been confident in her wingers to go one-on-one from the beginning of the season. And with reason, the distribution from the wingers up to Mattingly or Vincennes or Pham, or sometimes forwards, sometimes backwards to Knox in the midfield, has proven to be a really effective way to open up goal-scoring opportunities for Alabama through the season. The only goal in this game came from Knox in the 36th minute. She sent a rocket in from distance. The Auburn goalkeeper juggled it, couldn't really control it or collect it ultimately. It was headed to the upper left 90, and it got in eventually. Auburn's goalkeeper kind of deflected it in, but Carly Wyatt was not going to let it not go into the goal because she was closing in and she was going to get that ball in the back of the net if it didn't get there on its own. Auburn limited Alabama to shots from distance, but that hasn't really been something that Alabama has been afraid of all season. It's really kind of a strength of theirs if you look at it, because, I mean, you've got Felicia Knox, Serena Pham, Riley Mattingly. They're all accurate from distance, and they absolutely will take a shot from distance if they see it, as evidenced by Felicia Knox's goal. So Auburn definitely had some looks. Honestly, it really probably shouldn't have been a game that ended 1-0. Crone had a fantastic game, but honestly, there were a couple of instances where luck really just was on Alabama's side, which is, you know, maybe a little different from most of the season so far. So Auburn pretty consistently was able to get past Alabama's midfield and break through the back line and create 1v1 situations. Crone would sometimes come up off her line to play that sweeper-keeper aggressive role that she does so well. And there was a couple of times where it looked like she might have misread it, and if the Auburn player had made one or two touches just slightly differently, Auburn would have gone up a couple of times. Now, one instance where it was really just purely a combination of luck and Crone's athleticism that kept Auburn at zero happened in the 29th minute. I'm going to read you my notes directly, and I am just going to go ahead and let you know these are in all caps. Crone comes up offline and ball bounces high in the box, and 5'7 Crone gets a hand up and catches in right hand. I don't know how that didn't break to goal. What a save. So that provides a pretty natural transition into my quick list of key players for the game. Crone. Great game. She faced 12 shots from Auburn, and she made 3 saves. Auburn had 12 shots and 3 on goal, so pretty perfect record from her. Now another player is Bryn Martin. She had her work cut out in a lot of 1v1 matches, but she did well against them. She did her part. She kept a clean sheet for the game. Obviously, Felicia Knox, she really did a great job holding down the midfield, allowing Alabama to kind of build around her, stopping the attacks from Auburn, and then ultimately creating that goal. Rapale. She played 90 minutes box to box, creating set piece like attempts with her flip throw in. She had 2 late in the game. It was actually noted by the broadcast team that she is one of the few players in the conference who does them correctly. She doesn't throw them up, she throws them out to create that long throw in where Alabama can line up as if it is a set piece, even though it's not. And then finally, Jessica Skorka stepped into the back line, and she did really, really well. She played meaningful minutes and faced a lot from Auburn's front two and attacking mids. Now, lastly from me, before we move into the conversation, the through ball. So again, a through ball is a ball that goes through the other team's defense for an attacker to get on. So this happened around the 64th minute. And this is unique because there were two and it was from the same player, one to herself. So Mattingly, she's still in front of the Auburn back line. She cuts around the Auburn defender on one side, sends the ball behind that defender to herself. She's still in front of two of the Auburn defenders. Then as her body is going out of bounds, she heads the ball even farther behind the back line to a waiting fam, who is on sides, but a waiting fam to then attack with. Now, it didn't end up being a goal-scoring situation, but I thought it was a very creative through ball. It was fun, if not a little confusing to watch, and just is a lot of the production that I think people want to see from her as that attacking nine. So that is my quick game analysis and list of key players.
The Capstone, 90.7 FM, WVUA.
And without any further ado, let's move into the conversation. All right, I am here with a returning guest of the Through Ball and a new guest. So do y'all want to introduce yourself?
Yeah, what's up? I'm Sam Hallam, back again to defend my previous predictions, which didn't go very well, but oh well.
Yeah, not well, but he's back.
It's all good. I'm Nikki Ray. I'm also very excited to make predictions, you know, maybe put some money on it this time.
Oh, this isn't a betting podcast.
I'm kidding.
So Nikki, we made Sam give his qualifications the first time he came on, and it was he is a fan. So what are your qualifications?
I'm a fan, love watching soccer, and I played for a decent bit of time. But yeah, I just like to watch and play for fun.
Wonderful. Well, let's go ahead and hop right in. What's everybody's feelings on the Iron Bowl of Soccer?
Back-to-back champs, baby. Yeah, I'm excited about it. It's a good way to end the season. I was talking to you about this earlier. It was kind of a sandwich season. Won the first game, won the last game. Unfortunately, not a lot of wins in between, but
just book in the season, beat the SEC East Division champs, and then beat Auburn, and you're good to go.
I saw that was our first win at Auburn since like 1998 or something, too.
Yeah, it's been a while. And then last season, Alabama lost the Iron Bowl of Soccer 3-2 in double overtime. But then they beat Auburn 2-1 in overtime at the SEC tournament. So is this the start? First prediction from both of you. Is this the start of a hot streak against Auburn for Alabama?
I think it might be, just especially because it wasn't on home field. Like, I think that just shows, like, they had the energy and the momentum in the game that when it is on our home field, like, at that advantage, we got it.
Confidence is coming in from Nikki. Sam, how do you feel?
Yeah, I really hope so. It's a lot of fun to beat Auburn, so definitely hoping we can do it again next year.
Was this revenge for the football Iron Bowl?
I don't want to talk about that.
We don't have to then.
I feel like no matter what team or like what sport, there's just such like an intense nearing like just hatred for Auburn and like their teams and stuff that like every single Iron Bowl just has the same like emotion and stuff. So there probably was like to some aspect like an embarrassment that football lost and some need to compensate.
Yeah, for sure. Have you all seen any of the pictures? I think a couple of players posted them, but then if you got the tune into the game, they have like an actual trophy, like a cup, which was fun to get to see them hanging, holding that around and everything. All right. Well, I have a quote that one of the broadcast members said from SEC Network during this game. And it's on Sanchez Corretto, who plays for the Mexican national team. She's been in the FIFA U-17 World Cup, is already a very accomplished freshman And so I just want to get your thoughts on this quote. I think if you play in a FIFA World Cup, you can play in the Iron Bowl.
Seems accurate.
Checks out to me.
Checks out.
Picks up the Iron Bowl.
There you go. It's Iron Bowl is right under FIFA World Cup. It goes in levels of competition. FIFA World Cup directly under Iron Bowl. Under I that.
Some might even say the Iron Bowl is more competitive.
Some might.
I mean, at this point, she said, I think it wasn't even a full, like, 100% statement. You know, she's just throwing it out there, maybe.
Yeah, just maybe. Yeah. So, I mean, who knows? So then another thing, we're just going to kind of quickly scoot through the Iron Bowl because I do want to talk to you all about the SEC tournament. And then I want to put the cart way ahead of the horse and talk about the NCAA tournament. So I really only have a couple of bullet points on the Iron Bowl because I have already discussed that. The listeners have already heard me go back over the game. So this is more of a opinion fan perspective situation. So yes or no, do you agree? And then yes or no, do you think it happened or were they just lucky with what went down? Wes Hart told the broadcast team that Alabama just needed to find out how to hit the reset button. If a few looks across games through the season had gone a different way, UA would have a different record. And that was reinforced by the 3-1 victory Alabama had against Tennessee, who at the time was competing against South Carolina for the SEC East title. So yes or no, agree? And then do you think it happened or was there a lot of luck involved in the game?
Yeah, I think it was more unlucky. Some of the games that we had this year that didn't go our way, especially like all the last second buzzer beaters and everything. So I definitely agree with that a couple bounces our direction and we could have a very different record this year.
So you think Alabama hit the reset button in this game?
I mean, I hope so. I think we'll see at LSU this week how we come out in that game. But I think it was definitely an improvement and definitely probably helped our morale going forward just to get one in the win column.
Yeah, for sure. How do we feel about Auburn's goalkeeper being 17?
That is impressive. Is she even allowed to be in college?
Yeah, so she graduated early. So let me find my notes on that because I thought this was fascinating when they were talking about it.
How has she been doing?
I think pretty good, to be honest. I mean, Auburn, they had a rough start to their season, but they've turned it around. They're ranked at number 15 now.
Okay. And did she take a spot or did she just fill a spot that was kind of for the grab?
Both. So she graduated a year early. She was signed early to the 2021 recruit class. And then another Auburn goalkeeper got hurt last year. And so she went to her guidance counselor and was like, I want to graduate early so I can go help them.
Wow.
Came in. So, I mean, they had to have had some kind of interim.
Yeah.
I mean, she, as a true freshman at 17 starting, and I mean, she was pretty confident. There was a couple instances where it was like, she was really controlling the back line pretty well. So, I mean, she's pretty impressive, I think. I didn't really believe it at first when they said she was 17. I was like, I got to do some extra research on this.
Yeah, impressive from like a mindset perspective, because I still don't feel like I'm old enough to be in college. So coming in at 17 is pretty crazy.
Yeah, me, a junior about to be 21, is like, no, what are you talking about? I'm not prepared enough for anything like that, is about to be kicked out into the real world.
And going on to like a sports team and with that too, like the intimidation that comes with that, I can't imagine. And just like for her back line to trust her, that's impressive that they were able to make that switch so seamlessly.
And they were pressing up some. Like, they would press up and drop balls back to her a couple of instances. Not as much as the Alabama back line does for Crone, but also I don't think there's another keeper in the SEC who's as much of a sweeper keeper as Crone. which is actually a pretty good segue. I kind of mentioned this earlier, but how do you feel about the level of aggressive that Krohn was in this game last week?
I mean, I like it. I think definitely coming off some of the unlucky losses we've had, we need a bit more aggression and sort of a bit of a spark plug. So I think it's definitely good to have a keeper that's confident enough to come out and challenge some of those balls.
There was one that she challenged almost at midfield. Like, genuinely in the circle.
I mean, that's crazy, but also, like, she's controlling it and she can see everything. Like, that's putting a lot of trust and confidence in the rest of the team that I feel like you need that when you're having those unlucky games and when you're coming off of that.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And, I mean, even after a couple of unfortunate bounces in the past few weeks, the back line has not been afraid to drop passes back to her. And she's not afraid to play with her feet. Which I really like to see. She's the most experienced keeper in the SEC right now. She's not the most experienced in SEC games because she's a transfer in from a different conference, but you can tell that she is definitely a more veteran keeper, I think, when you look at all the others. That being said, Auburn's keeper 17 still looks pretty similar caliber going up against her. All right, so what are our feelings on the season as a whole?
I mean, I think overall it was a pretty disappointing season just because of the record. But I think when you sort of look back at how close a lot of those games were, I don't think the record defines necessarily how good the team actually was, especially like you mentioned, we like destroyed Tennessee the first game of the season and they're one of the top teams in the SEC now. So I think we definitely showed we could play with anyone, but it was a disappointing season in the sense that we didn't get a lot of the results that we wanted.
Yeah. I mean, even you look at how many ties and how many overtimes the team had to go into, like there were a lot of games that were kind of right on the cusp there. And I feel like anytime you're going into double overtime, it's just going to come down to luck.
Yeah, for sure. Well, and I mean, I don't get to hear any kind of analysis on these games when they're at home because I'm there. So I don't love away games because I don't get to be at the games, but I do like hearing what the broadcast team has to say because, you know, they get to be on different conference calls and stuff. And they were very complimentary of this team. And I'm trying to find it in my notes here because I mentioned it. Okay, here we go. They were asking in the second half, because Alabama was up, does Alabama switch into a defensive mindset? You know, do they park the bus? And I think the play-by-play said that. Well, then the color commentator said, absolutely not. Wes Hart has made them an attacking team. And you saw that against Texas A&M. I mean, they were ranked 8th in the NCAA at that point, and Alabama held their own. I mean, scoreline doesn't show that, a 2-0 shutout, but they held their own if you actually like look at the, you know, shots on goal, everything like that. And so they were actually saying that, you know, there's a shorter limited field for the amount of teams that are going to get to go to the NCAA tournament. They would need to make a really deep run within the SEC tournament. But if they were to get into the tournament, the two broadcasters were saying that, you know, as an early seeded team, they're one that could kind of upset people's brackets, one to keep an eye on. So, I mean, you know, their record this season obviously is disappointing compared to past seasons, but they've shown some grit. So the win over Auburn locked in Alabama at the 11th seed for the tournament, which this is really interesting. The seeding for the tournament ended up being done on points per game average instead of the typical like who's at the top of the table, because some games were flat out canceled due to COVID, not just postponed. Like one that was just canceled was Georgia versus Missouri. Just didn't happen. So because there was that uneven number, they had to do points per game model. Alabama with a win locked in at seed 11. So they are going to be in match one on Friday, November 13th at 7 p.m. Central, SEC Network. They're going against seeded 14th LSU. So let's real quick talk about that game. I think it's going to be crazy.
I mean, coming out of a double overtime draw to them last time they're playing, plus the kind of fire they have under them after beating Auburn, I feel like it's in their favor in terms of just like attitude going in. But it's definitely going to be to the bottom line.
Yeah, I think that rivalry with LSU is probably one of the second biggest rivalries that Alabama has in the SEC across all sports. But I mean, LSU is winless on the season. So, you know, they're coming in just hungry to like win one game. But then, like you said, Alabama's coming in after that win off of Auburn. They also came in super hot to that game against LSU earlier in the season. I mean, Carly Wyatt scored two goals within a minute of each other. And then they went into the two-hour weather delay. I think if you hadn't had the weather delay in that game, it would have been a different story. I don't think it would have been a 3-3 draw in double overtime.
And how about the fouls? I mean, were they coming mostly from Alabama, mostly from LSU, even split? Just a tough, tough game to the nail.
Alabama had 21 fouls. LSU had 19. But LSU did have a player go out on two yellows. They also had a player go out. They were down one of their typical starting players in their matchup on Friday because the game before, a player had gotten a red late enough in the game where it took her out of that game. So I think it's going to be a nasty game.
Yeah. It's probably the biggest Alabama sporting event this weekend too, now that the football game got canceled. So
that's what I'm saying. Alabama at LSU canceled. Alabama versus LSU on neutral territory. I'm thinking everyone should be tuning into SEC Network on Friday. That's all I'm saying. I don't think you'll be disappointed. So if we're not disappointed and Alabama wins this game, the next matchup is going to be the fourth match, which is going to be on Sunday at 3:30 p.m. So the winner of match one is going to play 6-seed Ole Miss. Ole Miss was Alabama's first team that shut them out this season. But, I mean, Riley Mattingly specifically was like fighting tooth and nail to that final whistle. And I feel like if Alabama wins against LSU, they are really going to want to prove a point about Ole Miss. Then the winner of match four goes on to match eight against number three, Texas A&M. So let's say Alabama beats LSU. They go to the first team that beat them 2-0. They beat that team, they go to the second team that beats them 2-0. I feel like this has all of the necessary elements to just be the revenge tour.
Yeah, it definitely could be. I think the only thing I worry about with like the structure of the SEC tournament is that as we go deeper and deeper, our team is getting more tired, whereas these other teams haven't played a game in a while. So I think that's something that definitely we saw come into play this season. Like later in games, you could tell that some of the girls were tired and cramping up and things like that. So,
I mean, even if you look at the Iron Bowl, I mean, that was Auburn had three matches in 8 days because of different scheduling issues. And Alabama was coming off of, you know, 6 days of practice, but like rest, they didn't have any other games. So to win the SEC tournament, Alabama would have to win five matches over the course of 9 days. And that is pretty demanding fitness-wise, but I will say, I was talking to Mattingly after the Mississippi State game with that double overtime, and then they ended up going against Florida the next week, and they had gone into double overtime. I was asking what role she thought fitness was going to play. And her quote, and I don't think I'm going to forget this for as long as I live, was, "We're built different." She was like, "We're used to playing a couple of games a week in normal seasons." And I mean, she was like, "I have trust in our strength and conditioning coaches. They've done a great job." So I don't know. I think if everybody has the attitude on, like, if everybody on the team has the attitude that Mattingly had, at least that early in the season, I'm not sure how big of a role fitness is going to play.
I guess I'm honestly kind of more worried about injuries. Like, coming off of a big LSU game where you're playing 40 fouls in the last game that you played, like, that, I don't know. Even if someone's not injured, they're going into that next game just 2 days later a little sore. That's pulled muscle after pulled. Like, that's just, I feel like that's, like, the biggest thing I'd be nervous about.
And Ole Miss is coming off of a bye.
Also, to contradict my previous point, I feel like there is an element of rust that comes into play if you're sitting out for too long. So that could be potentially something that works to our advantage, is at least we'll be sort of warm and coming off games, whereas a lot of these other teams will have been sort of not playing competitively for a couple weeks. So I could see it going both ways.
And let's go there. Let's go there right now, because you and I have talked about this in the past, but Alabama typically goes on, like, hot and cold streaks through the season. They typically start off really hot. They dip for a couple of games in the middle and they get hot again. You and I were talking earlier this season, I think it was probably before the Ole Miss game, where we were like, they can't afford to do that in an 8-game regular season. Is this when they hit their second hot streak?
I mean, I think coming off of Auburn, that's the fertile breeding ground for not, like, they're going, they're ready to go, especially going against LSU. I don't know. I feel like the schedule that they have, it's like a schedule that they're going to want to keep that streak going.
Well, and then they would move straight from, if they went over Texas A&M, they would move straight to match 12, which is the quarterfinals match. And they made it all the way to the quarterfinals last season. That was only like the second or third time in program history. So when you think about it, just in terms of the SEC tournament, they're trying to extend a hot streak right now, just in making that kind of a deep run into the tournament. So I don't know. I think because they're coming off of that Iron Bowl win away and then going on essentially a revenge tour, I think they might surprise people.
I think they're also probably in more of a win or go home mindset than a lot of teams in the tournament, because some of the teams at the top of the SEC, even if they don't win the tournament, will probably have a good shot at extending their season. But as you mentioned before, for us, we definitely have to make a pretty deep run in the tournament to have a chance. So I think that sort of could play into their motivation of, if you lose, that could be it for the season.
Yeah. Well, and it's kind of like, so it's single elimination. It's kind of like sudden death for the overtime periods. I feel like Alabama's had enough, you know, overtime losses where it's like they want to prove that, you know, Wes Hart has all of his recruits in this team. They have a lot of talent. They've got a deep bench. And I think that, you know, what a lot of people have been saying, including the broadcasters for the game last Friday, is that, you know, the record of this team should not define the season or the team. And I feel like, and I hope that, you know, the team kind of has that same, like, us against the conference mindset.
I feel like this year is just so different too. And it applies to all teams, but the seniors, it's a new level of pressure kind of on them. You know, their last season of soccer after all of these years and after all this commitment in Division One is coming down to only 8 games. And, you know, they're built different and they're used to playing this many games, but it's also disappointing. Like, I'm sure a lot of them are upset, and no team wants to see that end. No senior wants to see that end. So I feel like the level of play is just, it's a lot more intense this year.
Yeah, for sure. Well, especially when you think about, I mean, senior night was the last game that Alabama played at home. It was the first night game that they had in Tuscaloosa. They lost to Texas A&M 2-0. And, you know, you've got, like, Taylor Morgan, star senior. She's injured. She's out. She's been out. So, you know, you also have to think that there's some level of, like, let's win it for the seniors from the underclassmen. Let me get your prediction. How far of a run do you think Bama's going to have in the SEC tourney?
I'm going to say we're going to win, just so that I can look like a genius if we end up doing it. And if not, I will never be back on this podcast again. because that would be two horrible predictions back to back. And I don't know if I can face you after that.
Yeah, you're not invited back if we lose out in the first round after you say we're going to win the whole thing and then you didn't knock on any wood. You're out of here. But I like the confidence. I do.
Now I want to say we'll win too. I feel like that, I don't know. I feel like we're definitely going to beat LSU. That's not even a question in my mind. I just, honestly, I think we'll beat Ole Miss too. I feel like that's easy, easy money. But then I feel like once we get to Texas A&M, that's a little, it's going to be a little bit harder. But do we know like when that game would be? Like how soon after the Ole Miss game?
I think from what I see, they play games every 2 days. So there's around Friday, Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday, and then the championship is Sunday.
Yeah. So if Alabama wins over LSU, then wins over Ole Miss, they will play – so that would be Friday, Sunday. They would play Texas A&M Tuesday, November 17th at 3:30 p.m.
Okay. I would love to see us get to match 12. I feel like if we can beat Texas A&M, like they definitely can go all the way and beat everyone. I think that's going to be the tough one, though.
I'm with you on that. I think that I'm pretty confident about LSU. I am hopeful about Ole Miss, and then I am curious about Texas A&M. And can you tell I'm superstitious? All right, so now we're going to put the cart ahead of the horse and we're going to talk about the NCAA tournament. But I kind of want to talk about this at more of like a bird's eye view. How does the SEC do in it? So last year, the SEC sent 5 teams to the NCAA tournament. They sent South Carolina. They were knocked out in the quarterfinals by Washington State, who ended up, they lost in the semifinals. And they sent Arkansas. They were knocked out in the second round against NC State. Then they sent Florida. They were knocked out the first round against Southern Florida. So we got a little in-state rivalry. Texas A&M knocked out in the second round against Southern California. And then Vanderbilt, who knocked Alabama out in the quarterfinals of the SEC tournament. Vandy was knocked out in the first round against Clemson. So, I mean, you look at that and you've got like ACC has, you know, powerhouses like Clemson, North Carolina. Then you've got your schools on the Pacific Coast, like your Stanfords, your UCLA, your Southern California. I mean, how do we think that the SEC as a whole, but then also specifically Bama, you know, stacks up against those programs?
I feel like this season has just been so weird in terms of trying to figure out who is actually going to be a contender in the tournament. I mean, obviously, Arkansas looks really good right now with a 7-1 record. So I could see them, if they get hot during the SEC tournament, carrying that into the NCAA tournament. But also, Arkansas only beat us in overtime. So if you're talking about Alabama's chances, we barely got beat by one of the best teams in the country. So definitely proves that I think we can hang with anyone. It's just sort of a question of what kind of attitude we have and whether the bounces go our way in a specific game.
Yeah, I have to agree. I mean, I think in terms of the SEC, I feel like it's a very competitive league. You know, you have some of these powerhouses, but then also, I don't know, growing up in the Northeast, like seeing the powerhouses that were like the Big Ten kind of areas and like where they were recruiting from and just the prevalence of, you know, organized soccer and recruiting kind of up there and its popularity, I think it does kind of give them some competitive edges. But I think the SEC, I don't know, it just seems like the competition and the level of intensity in almost every sport seems to kind of dominate.
All right, so final thoughts from both of you on the season and then moving into the tournament, just real quick to wrap us up.
I think, you know, like we've kind of harped on, Alabama's had an unlucky season, but they have a lot of grit, and it seems like we have this like fire under us going, and then we're going to be on this hot streak. And I think if we can keep using that and we keep a healthy bench throughout these kind of tough and physical games, they have a really good shot.
Yeah, I agree. I think the message from the coaches should just sort of be put the season behind you. like the record doesn't matter at this point and you're just playing every game like it could be the last game of the season. I think they've already shown that they can definitely hang with anyone in the SEC, so should be fun to watch.
Was that your pitch to Wes Hart to hire you?
Yeah.
Was that your pitch? Do you have more of one that you should give?
Yeah, I mean, I can send in my resume and a cover letter at a later date, but...
Look, I'm sure he's eagerly awaiting. So, all right, to recap, Sam thinks that Alabama is going to win the SEC tournament. He is winner go home in the sense that if we don't win, he's just never going to be invited back on this podcast. Nikki thinks that Alabama will get at least to the Texas A&M game, and then depending on how that game goes, they're either going to win the whole tournament or they lose to Texas A&M, they go home. I'm superstitious and will not give a definitive prediction, but I hope that they make a deep run. So also to recap, football this weekend for Alabama, it's canceled. So why are you not turning on SEC Network at 6 p.m. Central Time? And I actually think I was using Eastern Time for most of this podcast, so that's my bad. The game is at 6 on Friday, November 13th. It's Friday the 13th, and it's a physical match between LSU and Alabama. Why would you not watch that? So again, Friday the 13th, watch the game. This has been the Through Ball.